Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, hour number three. As we do. Here we go. This is Lock and Load. Let's talk to Dean Weingarten, who's still on the road out in Texas somewhere, deep in the heart of Texas. And let's talk about this latest thing. Now, why do you think there is, Dean, that there's all we always have to go and reclaim a right about when it comes to emergencies? Why do they always want to suspend rights in the case of an emergency?
Right.
What's up with that?
Well, politically, this is when people and governments do things they can't otherwise do. And a very famous Rahm Emanuel in the Clinton administration said, never let a crisis go to waste. Because you can do stuff then that you can't do otherwise. That you could never get away with otherwise is the way that I would put it. And that's been the way government has worked since there have been governments around. Oh, normally we can't do this because it's your right. But it's an emergency, so too bad. Here we go. We do it. And they have done this repeatedly. Now, the whole purpose of our, not the whole purpose, a major purpose of our Constitution is to prevent that kind of emotional response. And to pass legislation really quickly and get it done right now because it's an emergency, we got to get it done right now. And it's worked in large part quite a bit. You know, the whole system of having to have a bill go through the House and the Senate and then the presidency takes a while. And there's all kinds of procedures you have to go through. So it often stops these emotional bills from getting through. If you can stop them right away, you know, if you can stop them the first couple of days or make them hesitate for a day or two, you can often stop them. But we saw that stuff like this happened in Australia, where they passed their draconian gun bills in just a matter of a couple of weeks. And the way that they were able to do that was they had everything set up beforehand so that they were able to. They had the bill done. They had everything all ready to go. So once the emergency they were hoping for happened, they could just hop on it. Now, these are a little different in that what has happened is that many governments, including the federal government and almost all the state governments, have set up laws in advance to circumvent that process so that a governor, usually to the executive branch, can declare an emergency. And when they declare an emergency, then all the normal stops are out. And that's what they did in COVID a whole lot to basically change all the voting rules, change any check on voting, change the way elections were run. And I would argue that most of those changes were designed with a major purpose, and that purpose was to get rid of President Trump. And so several states in the meantime since then have said, whoa, this is going way too far on this emergency stuff where we just give governors basically carte blanche, a blank check to change all the rules when they declare an emergency. And so some states, including Arizona, have reformed that process a bit. But that's what this bill in Alaska is partly about, and that is to restrict governments during emergencies so they can't just say, oh, it's an emergency. You don't have any rights anymore in an emergency, which is pretty far out, but that's what they do. And we saw it in Louisiana, remember, during Hurricane Katrina, where I think it was a sheriff or police chief at the time said, oh, emergency, confiscate all the guns. And they confiscated quite a few guns from innocent people in New Orleans during the Katrina emergency. And that caused a backlash of considerable proportions, and a number of states changed their laws after that. Well, here we are in Alaska. It's 2023, and the legislature is very much in favor of this bill, which says the governor or a state agency or a municipality may not issue or order a proclamation, a regulation, or policy that during an emergency, you can't have guns, you can't carry guns, you can't sell guns, you can't buy ammunition, or any other weapon. I'm glad they put that in there. And basically says, we will not allow that during emergencies in Alaska. I think they still are able to declare, I think the government can still declare martial law. But that's a little bit more. That takes a bit more, you know. People aren't willing to accept martial law as easily as they might accept, oh, we're not allowed to carry these pistols around during an emergency. So that has passed the legislature with big margins. In the House, it was 26-12 on May 5th. And then in the Senate, it was 17-3 on May 16th, and it has been sent off to the governor for his signature. And the governor is a Republican, Mike Dunleavy. I looked hard to see, by hard, I mean I took a few minutes on the internet
right.
to look for any instance where Governor Dunleavy has, and I might be mispronouncing his name, stated that he would either veto or sign HB 61, and I haven't found anything. So that makes you wonder, is he going to sign it or is he going to veto it? They have a veto-proof majority in the legislature in Alaska to override him, but they might be out of session by the time he makes a decision. So I think it's unlikely that a Republican governor in Alaska would veto this common sense legislation. I mean, it's not like there's a real serious problem here. We don't see people who can legally have firearms causing a lot of problems during emergencies. What we see is that the police seldom can respond well because their hands are full of all kinds of other stuff. So criminals take emergencies as a moment of opportunity to do so. Yeah, it's kind of like the government saying, oh, it's a crisis. Don't let a crisis go to waste. We're going to pass stuff we couldn't pass. Well, criminals also say, oh, it's a crisis. The police are all busy. We never let a crisis go to waste. We can steal stuff and victimize people that we ordinarily couldn't do. And that's just the time when people need their arms and need to exercise their right to keep and bear arms for defense of self and others. Now, we have a long tradition in the United States that when emergency happens and the formal responders that we have hired to protect us in ordinary times, you know, we call them police or maybe even the National Guard. But when they're really busy with other stuff, we form what I would call spontaneous militias, where the people of a neighborhood say, you know.
Hang on there with that thought. That's a good place for us to hang on. This article, it got published May the 31st. It is the latest article by Dean Weingarten. It's on the front page of Ammoland.com. You can find it there, along with 2,200 plus others by Dean. And that's just Dean at Ammoland. So we'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. ¶¶
such thing as a fair fight. And we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about Alaska, which, I mean, Alaska is actually, that could be a metaphor for just about anybody with these sort of emergency powers. And you're about back to the spontaneous militia, which sometimes is a matter of necessity.
Absolutely. When the police and maybe any other first responders and maybe even the National Guard just are preoccupied with everything else, that's when you want to be able to exercise your Second Amendment rights and prevent looters from just stealing anything that isn't torn down or otherwise victimizing people. I would guarantee that if we can look at statistics, and it's hard to do for just a few days in a lot of places, we'll see that crime goes up in emergencies. Not always, by the way. We had a sort of a pseudo-created emergency back in, I think it was the 1970s or 60s in New Mexico and Albuquerque. The police went on strike, as I recall. And the local merchants said, well, we got to protect ourselves. So they organized a spontaneous militia and started having armed guards and armed patrols to take the place of the police, and crime dropped precipitously. And then there was the case in Orlando, I think it was 66, where they were having a series of rapes. It was a serial rapist that was going around victimizing women. And the local police chief said, you know, we need to teach women how to shoot so they can protect themselves. And they didn't have very large classes. I think they had 100 women or something went through the class a long time ago, and my memory is fallible as always. But the rape in Orlando at that time just went through the floor. They didn't have significant numbers of rapists for a considerable period after that. And it might have something to do that they thought just maybe that woman I want to victimize might be carrying a gun. It's not very common for rapists to use firearms. They generally use other weapons. So what we see is that when the citizenry exercises their right to keep and bear arms, because the people we hire to maintain the police are not available, it works pretty well. This is all part of the philosophy of the founding, which is the power rests in the people. It doesn't start on top and flow downhill. It starts with the people. And then we give away some of that power or delegate it to people in the government who then are supposed to protect us. But we reserve the right to take it back when we need to. And so the idea that you would take away, prevent people from being armed in an emergency is 180 degrees out of sync with the whole philosophy of the Constitution, of limiting governments, of having right, natural rights that we have by the fact that we exist as people, not because some government gave us those rights. And so this whole idea of restricting the people from being armed is, there is a slightly broader reason for it than just saying we don't trust the people. I mean, occasionally you do have insurrections. The founders were well aware of it, and they allow for the Bill of Rights to be suspended during an insurrection. Well, at least for habeas corpus and other things. But if you're fighting an actual insurrection, you're in martial law, you have all these other things going on, and that's not what we are talking about in these cases where they say, oh, the governor can declare an emergency, and during that emergency, he can take away your right to keep and bear arms. And that's being fought in a number of states, and we've been successful in quite a number of states.
Well, I mean, here's the problem with these emergency powers as I see it. In most cases, when it is a real emergency, doesn't government pull back?
Very often.
And protect their own assets?
That's often what you see. That's what we saw in the L.A. riot.
Yeah.
We saw it, I think, in Minneapolis to some extent. We saw it in large part in a whole bunch of these BLM riots where the local governments refused to enforce law and kind of let the local rioters go wild and wouldn't even ask for federal help on them. So, yes. That is correct. And we see it that it's been used as a political pretext to get things they can't get otherwise,
right,
too.
Right,
And then we've seen it overseas. In the Philippines, Marcos declared an emergency and said, not, nobody can have guns around while this emergency is going on. And we've seen that in, let's see, there's been some other places. I think in probably, Myanmar, Venezuela, and when I was in Panama, you know, back during the Noriega regime, they declared an emergency and said, permits to carry are no longer valid while this emergency is on. You can't carry your firearms around. So it's a system whereby governments restrict you in ways that you're not allowed to be restricted normally. And sometimes these emergencies just keep being extended for years and years. That's what's happened in Venezuela. That happened in the Philippines. It's a real serious danger to the exercise and preservation of your rights under the Constitution. And it's not just the Second Amendment, although that has been infringed more in the U.S. than I would say other rights. But you see that it's also a serious danger to First Amendment rights, right to assembly, right to freedom of speech, freedom of the press, which are all under serious attack today in the United States. There is, we've seen now from Twitter that there is serious compromising and working together of the government and Twitter and other big tech companies to censor speech in the U.S.
Right.
That's not allowed under the Constitution. And I guess what they claimed was that it's an emergency. We've got to keep President, we've got to get rid of President Trump. It's an emergency. I mean, how they justified it, they went to the FISA court, which is another piece of emergency legislation, and said, we can do stuff we can't otherwise do. That was one of the ways that they justified it. And of course, they just said, well, these people are bad. We don't like them, so we can't trust them. We have to censor them.
Well, hold on for me, if you will. We're coming up on the next break. I've got a couple more questions to ask you about that, as far as all that goes. Dean's stuff, for the most part, is all printed at Ammoland. That's where it begins, and then it gets reprinted all over the place. But Ammoland.com, that's where he has 2,200 plus other articles there as well. All kinds of poignant topics, all still mean something today. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Garand Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the Weapons of Wick, now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
USA News Update. You could be paying more at the pump very soon. Saudi Arabia, the largest oil producer in OPEC, will reduce its daily oil production by 1 million barrels this summer. The move expected to drive up gas prices in the U.S. House Oversight Committee Chair Republican James Comer is initiating contempt proceedings against FBI Director Christopher Wray. Comer claims the FBI refused to hand over an unclassified document related to President Biden's alleged involvement in a criminal bribery scheme.
Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability.
Despite the FBI's offer to review the document in a secure area on Capitol Hill, Comer insists the Bureau is still not complying with the subpoena. and former Vice President Mike Pence is ready to join the already crowded Republican field running for president. He filed the paperwork to enter the race today. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about emergency powers and everything. I mean, why is it we never see emergency powers where they get out there? I guess the closest I've ever seen to this getting out there and saying, you guys are, you know, telling the truth was with, what was that guy's name? The guy that was the police chief of Detroit. Was it Stevens?
The guy that said,
go out and get a gun because you guys are going to have to defend yourself until my people can get to you because I don't have enough people to handle it.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I've written about him extensively. For some reason, the name is not coming up right away. And I give him a lot of credit because he was a police officer for a long time in Los Angeles, and he was very anti-Second Amendment, I would say. And then he became a chief in Maine, and he started listening to people who weren't, and he said, oh, you know, you guys make a lot of sense. People really can defend themselves. And so it was a really positive aspect for him. And what we see is that these emergency measures are essentially progressive ideology finding a way to get around the limitations on government power that exist in the Constitution. And so that's where this whole emergency, I mean, it's been going on for a lot longer than the Constitution exists. Governments have often used either an actuality or a pretext of some emergency to limit people's rights to do things that were otherwise not acceptable.
Right.
And it's happened a lot in the United States as well as other places. But the more you're aware of it, the more we can fight it, and the more we can prevent the abuses that are common under these emergency orders.
Well, the problem, I think, lies in the fact that when one of these things occur, right, everybody's,
right.
Well, I mean, like, take Katrina, right?
Right.
Now, Katrina was a complete and total collapse of government. A hurricane came in and just completely wrecked a city, right? Wrecks an entire city.
Right.
Levees breaking, everything's flooded. It's so bad that people are on their rooftops signaling for aircraft, right? Right. So then as soon as the water recedes a little bit, then they get some National Guards and everything, and they decide to have an emergency. So they're going to have an emergency now after the emergency, and they were started going door-to-door and collecting guns.
Yeah, that happened. I mean, it was not the complete city that it happened to, but it happened. There were dozens and dozens of cases where it happened.
So did that ever get addressed?
Yes. There was legislation that was signed that said the federal government won't do it. Louisiana had some legislation that got passed. Several other states had legislation that was passed. So we went and said, no, we're not going to do this again, in large part. Now, there's still places that probably have laws on the books that allow for emergencies and for confiscation of weapons. But in large part, that was addressed.
Right.
I just don't have the citations in front of me, but I was looking it up, and I believe there was federal legislation as well as state legislation that was passed to address the problem. So we actually came out of that better off than we were before, because they said, no, we're not going to let this happen again. There was a huge outcry in the Second Amendment community about it, because it was just innocent people, and they're in the middle of an emergency where there's no real enforcement of law and order. And they say, oh, by the way, we're not going to let you have a gun.
Right.
We're not going to let you protect yourself. You're in your own home. You have the gun legally. We're going to take it.
How long did that take after it happened?
Oh, to get the legislation passed?
Yes, sir.
I think about 2 years.
2 years.
That's my recollection. So my recollection is often false.
I guess the problem for me comes from the fact that there was never anything proactively done about this. Nobody looked at this. See, and that sort of encapsulates my biggest issue.
Well, there was a lawsuit in Louisiana, and the NRA, as I recall, got a settlement in that lawsuit against the government.
Right.
Now, I don't know how much money they got out of it. One of the things was that they had to return all the guns that they'd collected if they could find the owners. So they didn't keep good records. They just take this gun. They don't necessarily put down the serial number. They don't put down where it came from. Then they store it in poor conditions. It's rusted up. Now, who does it belong to? Oh, we don't know. So, but that was part of the lawsuit, as I recall.
Right. See, right now,
there was some proactive measures that were taken.
Right. Well, in the day to day, right, I talk the general stuff, and in the general stuff, my question now with this next election coming up is, what have we done? What did we learn from the 2020 election? Was sort of like Katrina, right?
Yeah,
because that was sort of a stolen election. So, has the Republican National Committee, have they got all the hundreds of lawyers they need to go in there and start fighting them on the ground to make sure they don't change all these rules and everything?
I don't see it. I'd love to say I could see it. I just don't see it. Now, there's some indications that there's some organization going on to try to prevent some of the stuff that happened.
Right.
But a lot of it, there's a lot. I mean, you look at what happened in 2022 in the election in Arizona. And you look at things that happened, and judges are just saying, well, that doesn't mean that anything bad happened. Just because somebody went in when they're not supposed to a few days before the election and broke seals on computers and changed something in the computers, and just because then afterwards 69 or 59 or whatever it is percentage of these were in Republican heavy districts where the size of the print was changed so that all those ballots were thrown and it prevented a whole lot of people from getting effective votes. Well, that doesn't mean it was deliberately done that way, you see. So since we can't prove that it was deliberate, there's really no case here. That's what we're getting from the court. So, but at least people are getting somewhat educated.
Right.
And we have lawsuits. We have Kerry Lake's lawsuit in Arizona, and we have, Hamadeh, who was the Republican candidate for attorney general.
Right.
And after all of this, he only lost by like 270 votes. And that's way more than the number of disputed ballots. And he's got a lawsuit. It isn't published as much as Kerry Lake's is. And so that election might possibly be overturned, but it's crucial, absolutely crucial, because if you've got one of what I would call the co-conspirators to take control of Maricopa County and then control the election process for it and then control basically the election for the state, because Maricopa County has, I think, at least half the voters in the state, then you control the attorney general for the state, well, it's very hard to bring effective action against election fraud if the attorney general is on the side of the fraudsters.
Right.
So if Hamaday actually wins, then we'd have a Republican attorney general who might actually do something. But as you say, and I've particularized this to Arizona because I know more about it, but I don't see this huge response nationally that I think we should have.
Yeah, it should. All of this should be ongoing right now. And that's the thing that bugs me most about legislation of this type, where we don't look at it deep enough. We got coming up on the next break this article about, it's called Alaska Limits Government Emergency Power and Protects Rights to Arms. It's almost a duh piece of legislation.
Yeah, but I don't think the governor has signed it yet.
Yeah, so this is at AmmoLand. It is the last article that got published on AmmoLand right now of Dean Weingarten, although I'm sure there's others in the pipeline, along with 2,200 plus other articles, all of this type, political, hunting, equipment, bears, my favorite one. We're going to talk a little bit about bears when we get back, just because somebody else has decided to wade into this, which I consider this to be Dean's this is Dean's particular area of expertise, and I just want to run a couple of things past him and see what he thinks about this. Is it a valid thing to say? Is it a valid thing to do? That when we get back, this is Lock and Load.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load, and we're talking to Dean Weingarten. And one thing that Dean has, in my mind anyway, one thing that Dean has done is he's gathered these reams of information when it comes to going out into the wilderness, what you might have to do if you run into a bear, you know, because bears are apex predators here in the United States. And well, Dean's looked at a lot of these, but I saw this the other day and I thought of you. So this is about going out and elk hunters. Hunters, whenever they run into a bear. And they're talking about what kind of a handgun you should carry. And apparently, now I've never heard you talk about this, but in the old days when they had these revolvers with these black powder rounds, apparently the black powder round was not good enough to take out a bear of any size. Is that true? Have you found that to be true?
I think if this is the same article that I read, because I'm interested, so I see an article like that. It sounds like the same article. And I think they put forward this hypothetical, fictional characterization of a
two-pony
situation. Yeah. Two cowboys,
yeah.
And they're trying to get straight cattle, and it's snow on the ground, and they're using snowshoes, and a bear comes after them, and one of them has a .38-40 revolver, fires a couple shots that don't work all that well, and then the other one gets killed by the bear, and the other is attacked by the bear, but manages to get the revolver and fires through the roof of the bear's mouth and kills the bear. What I have seen is those old revolvers worked pretty well when they were used.
Right.
And in this fiction, what I believe is a fictional, it's not cited for any date or time or anything. I think it's just a imaginary scenario that the writer has put together to make his point. I mean, I can't say for sure, but it didn't give any citation to where this happened exactly and what date it happened.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking he's just making a story to make his point.
Gotcha.
So we know that the .44-40 works pretty well in a couple instances that we have of it. But there's just not many recorded because they didn't record a lot of stuff back then. In this account by the guy, it probably never would have been recorded in any newspaper account or anything. And so we have better arms today, and most of the cases that we're looking at, the arms are modern because more of these have been recorded in modern times. And while you would not ordinarily take a .38-40 as your firearm of choice to go hunting bear, I would not recommend it. If you are attacked by a bear, I wouldn't just throw it away saying, oh, this isn't useful to me. You know, it will be useful. We even have, I think, a total of 8 cases where we found pistols that were 22 long rifle caliber that were used in defense against bears. 7 of those cases were successful. 1 against the grizzly bear, 6 against black bears, and in one case it was not successful used against a polar bear up near Svalbard, the Svalbard archipelago that's north of the Arctic Circle. So even the lowly 22 rimfire, which is much more capable than a lot of people would like to admit, can be used effectively in defense against bears. I wouldn't say that's your choice, but if you have it and you don't have anything else, it's a lot better than, just trying to rely on your pocket knife or even a pretty good sized knife because you got standoff capability. So I question whether that scenario is a recorded incident or if it's just fictional or maybe a legend that was handed down by somebody I don't know. So, of course, older firearms are not as reliable, or were not as reliable, as our modern firearms and ammunition. And there's a case to be made for that. But we're talking relatively small degree. I think that the black powder cartridges were probably like 99.5% reliable. And the modern cartridges, even the long rifle, which is one of the less reliable because it's a rimfire, are in the neighborhood of 99.8% reliable because we've developed better priming systems. We've tested more extensively. We have more knowledge about what works and what doesn't. And I would say that in general, centerfire cartridges are more reliable than rimfire by a significant amount. So all of those things point to the idea that we're better off today. But I wouldn't discount a 38-40. If I had one today, I would certainly be willing to use it if it's the only thing I had available.
But they can be loaded up nowadays to what?
Yeah. There's a lot of like single action society, cowboy action shooting loads that are very mild. And that's not what you would prefer if you're going to be defending yourself against a bear. But even those very mild loads are probably enough if they hit just the right spot. And almost all handguns are loud. And so what we find is there's a significant percent of the time that warning shots fired, well, by any firearm, but by handguns, I'm mentioning, work. The bear just doesn't like the loud noise, or it decides, why should I bother with this? And it leaves after a warning shot. In the database that we've got, which is now, we're getting close on 150. I think we're at 145, 146 cases. About 10% of those, almost 10%, are warning shots that work. Somebody fires a warning shot and the bear decides to stop being aggressive and takes off. And in that case, nobody gets hurt. But when I talk to people and read where there's a better documentation, like I talked to Lucas Clark, who owns a ranch on a salmon river in southeastern Alaska. He is probably one of those people who has more practical experience with bears and aggressive bears than almost anyone else. He's also a guide, and he's had to deal with large numbers of these Alaskan, we'll call them brown, but they're really just a big grizzly. You know, they just get to eat a lot, so they get bigger. So brown/grizzly bears. And and this is just from a phone conversation, so I can't give you statistics on it. But he was clearly indicated that in his experience, the warning shots work more than half the time to stop a aggressive encounter. And then if you look at Svalbard, those were official records that we got with the Freedom of Information Act request, and it's very clear. Warning shots work more than half the time. Look, in that case, I'm not talking just pistols. We're talking about flare guns and firing warning shots from rifles. Not quite the same, but there's a good indication that that type of deterrent works, maybe more than half the time. And there have been a lot of cases, and this is just anecdotal, as was Lucas Clark's was anecdotal, because he just told me it over the phone, but where black people have deterred and stopped aggressive black bears with warning shots. So just the fact that a firearm, almost all pistols that you would ordinarily carry, even 22 long rifle, is very loud out of a pistol. It's going to be effective for warning shots. So these black powder firearms, they're still loud. There was an article, I forget the author, let's see if I can remember, David Hardy wrote an article for one of the NRA publications in which he is a retired wildlife biologist out of Alaska. And he had access to the Defense of Life and Property records, it appears. And he wrote an article about how effective warning shots are and how often they prevent a situation from getting worse. So we have several different sources all saying just a loud noisemaker and a firearm is much louder than almost anything else.
We have run out of time, Dean.
Works.
Run out of time. Thank you for joining me.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
This has been Lock and Load.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.